Blog Talk Radio.
That siren can only mean one thing. It is Thursday night. It's 8 o'clock. We are June the 7th, I think. And it is time for Off the Crossbar Live. I am one of your hosts. My name is James Jameson. Sitting on the couch across from me, we've got the man who we've named it all after. We've got K. Ross Reed. What up, dude?
How's it going?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good. To your right, my front and kind of actually directly in front of me, we've got goaltender extraordinaire. Eh? How do you like that for a compliment?
I do. I'm just waiting for what you say next.
Adam O'Wells.
Well, good day, James.
It's been an eventful week since last week's episode, that's
it
for sure.
It has been a crazy week.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, K-Ross. I think you have a paper in front of you that says what we're going to be talking about.
I have several of them.
What are we talking about tonight, man?
All right, we are talking Stanley Cup Finals, of course. The Stanley Cup did not get closed out last night. New Jersey manages to scrounge at least another day to live. We're going to talk about the Montreal Canadiens because that's kind of what we like to do, and there is an awful lot going on in this city right now.
We like to do that because I like to make you guys mad.
It's not a difficult thing to do, given the current situation. When we're already coming in mad, all you need to do is open the door.
Oh, I got some really good questions on that one, too.
Well, let's dig in. We are going to talk about trades and transactions. A lot of players on the move, a lot of players sort of settling out their future as we approach the trade deadline. And we're going to talk about a couple of very prominent general managers having their contracts extended this week and what that means for the future of their hockey clubs.
That seems like a full docket.
It is a
that we got
full
right
docket.
There. So I guess that means the really only thing that we can do at this point is go off the crossbar.
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan indeed. I think Adam really likes the sound effect.
He's digging it. We should get him his own headphones more often.
We should.
Better than last week's no headphone debacle.
Hey, that's your own fault.
How's that my fault? Nah, I had headphones. You just didn't plug them in.
The worst part is the splitter was on the couch the whole time.
No doubt.
I know.
We should hire a producer of some sort.
I know.
Or at least pay the one that we have.
Oh, that'd be great.
I would
do my job way better if I was getting paid.
But then it wouldn't be nearly as much fun.
So, hey, if you want me to get paid, go check out Amazon.com.ca or Well.ca and buy a whole lot of stuff.
But make sure you go through OffTheCrossBar.com. Yeah. Don't just go there and start buying stuff.
No.
Yeah, that's not quite how it works.
Yeah, go check out OffTheCrossBar.com. Click on any of our sponsors because without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. Well, we probably would be, but...
Yeah, we were doing this before them. I mean, it's nice to have them and all, but...
Yeah.
We're still not getting paid.
And as always, the show brought to you by...
BackSportsPage.com, which is actually going through a major revamp in the coming few days. I highly recommend everybody go check that out. Some great ideas inflowing. Brought to you, many presented by James and many presented by, well, James. So, but the site will be going through some major changes, and everything looks like it's moving towards the better. So I'm excited to see how all that pans out on the main site.
Because that's what I do. I just get ideas.
James doesn't make websites. He makes websites better.
You're the 3M of web building.
All right. So last night.
Last night. What a game.
Anybody shocked?
Not shocked. I mean, it's been a close series in terms of each individual game, well, with the exception of game three. It was only a matter of time before the Devils got a bounce, I guess.
Right, let's just hope that, you know, they've got a little bit in the tank. Because, I mean, as much as everybody is calling it to be LA, I mean, you know, they are going to win. But it would be nice to see them bring it to six or even seven games.
No, it would not.
Yes, it would.
No.
Yes, it would.
You know why?
I'm sure you'll tell us.
Because that would tarnish everything LA has done so far.
So?
Mm.
They got to earn it more
but
than they already have.
I think winning the next game constitutes them
as earning it.
No, but they have to win it in L.A.
And
the
if they win,
if there's anything that L.A. has proved this year, it's that this is the year 100% that the Stanley Cup needs to be won on the road.
It does.
A team that has gone 10-0 undefeated.
No team has ever gone 11-0. So a win on away ice would actually break the record and be quite the feat.
And that's the way that LA has to win the Stanley Cup this year.
Fun fact for the day. Do you know that in the playoffs this year, the road team has a 47-37 record? They are actually well above 500 when it comes to visiting teams.
What was the other fun fact that you were mentioning before the show about had LA won yesterday? Or is that for later on?
No, it's not for later on. Which fact are you alluding to?
The fact that had they won yesterday, it would have been X amount of years to the day.
Well, exactly. Yeah, on June 6, 1967, Los Angeles Kings named the first ever Los Angeles King when they selected Terry Sawchuk in the expansion draft.
One of the ultimate kings of the NHL.
Oh, absolutely. Had they won the cup on that day, it would have been 45 years to the day after they essentially constructed the team for the first time.
Set that first cornerstone.
But as it was, it did not turn out that way, and we are headed towards Game 5 Saturday night in New Jersey at the Prudential Center. Either you guys genuinely think that the Devils have a chance of coming back at this, or was this just one for the Gipper, make sure we're on the books?
I don't think they have a chance of coming back and winning it. I think they have a chance of coming back and winning another game, perhaps.
Nope.
And then Brodeur. The power of Brodeur.
Nope.
I have a tendency to agree with James on this one.
Of course you do. Everybody agrees with James.
No, that's because I think the case just being that I feel like the Kings came out nervous in the last game. They had a lot of pressure on them. They were on home ice where they suffered all of their three losses so far in the playoffs this year. I feel like the younger Kings squad has probably got a lot of experience under their belt at this point. Now they know what it's like to stare down the barrel of that gun, and I think that they're going to come out much better prepared.
Yep.
Alrighty then.
Ditto.
And let's be honest.
Last night, the biggest shocker to me was that second goal from
Henrique.
Yeah.
That was a terrible goal. That was a terrible goal.
Hey.
Yeah, it was an angle that he never should have had. Quick was ridiculously
low on that one.
He really was.
Quick had one.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing. He's been as close to perfect you could be throughout this entire playoff. And CBC keeps showing the graphic that like 80% of the goals that he's let in have all been to the blocker side.
But that's, what, four goals? So...
No, we've improved how many goals. You don't even count it, how many goals he's let in last week. And so that goal, I think it was a really bad one.
I mean, that is his MO, so you would expect him to be there for that, especially in that situation.
By his standard, that was a terrible goal.
But at the same time, New Jersey scored two goals in that game and doubled their production for the entire series. I mean, it's not like... There's a crack in the armor. He lets in two goals in a game. The New Jersey Devils had scored two goals in the first three games of the series. We're talking about inhuman numbers here. It's stellar what this kid has been able to do.
It has been.
Sorry,
I was burping there.
Well,
awesome.
There's no point silencing it if you're going to immediately tell on yourself.
Well, no, because at least you don't get the full audio of it.
Well, that's true.
So going back, I don't like that it's Saturday night. I would have preferred it's tomorrow night.
Why? We don't have hockey.
I know, but it just feels like it's too long.
It does. There's been a lot of very awkward gaps in this series.
Yeah.
It's really been a strangely timed Stanley Cup final, which I kind of think plays into the Kings' court, if you would. Just because they have had so many massive breaks in their schedule throughout the playoffs. They are really a well-rested team for a team that is on the brink of winning a Stanley Cup with one more win. They've had 6-7 days off in between series on a regular basis.
They barely had to do anything.
Well, that's kind of the point.
They kind of show up to the series and go, oh, okay, best of seven? Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we got this. What do you need, 6-7 days?
I don't think New Jersey stands a chance for as much as Brodeur easily kept the Kings at bay yesterday.
Yeah.
He was a big part of New Jersey's win. I don't, you know, just like every other game in this series where he's played a hell of a game, you can only do so much if you only score one or zero goals.
Well, and that's exactly the point. I mean,
I don't think they're getting two again on Quick.
And it's not like the Devils had an overwhelming offensive effort, even in the past game that they did win. They had something like 11 shots through the first two periods of play, three shots in the second period. You know, they came alive in the third, took 13 on net. But even still, that's the kind of period you need to have every period if you want to compete against the Kings in this kind of environment. Three shots in the second period just isn't going to do it, and I don't know that they can muster up anything more than that against this Kings squad with the aggressive forecheck, with the ability to keep the play away from the center of their net. I mean, really, most times, keep the play out of their own end. It seems like they really play from their own blue line out, and they have a really good ability to control the speed of play and to control which areas of the ice the game is played in. And that speaks to Sutter's genius yet again.
Yeah, it's they've just looked consistently at all times easily the best team throughout this entire playoffs, and not just in the Stanley Cup final. Every series that they played, they've been the better team without a shadow of the doubt. And it's really becoming apparent here against New Jersey, because New Jersey has looked really good so far.
Like, oh,
they played a really good series against New York. They dominated Philly. And they had a hard-fought one against Florida, which I don't think anybody other than myself really gave Florida any credit.
No, and you know what? I'll be the first to admit that in the first round of the playoffs, I really thought that whichever team came out of that series was done. I thought that was a token series we played in
Philly
the first round.
With whoever was going to win that series.
And as did I.
And it ended up being New Jersey in five. We were all wrong on that one.
Incredible. So, incredible.
Go figure. I just don't see how they can't. How can they lose away from home? To be like the be-all, end-all of away runs in the Stanley Cup. It's incredible.
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean,
if you were writing this story, come on. Come on.
Well, you got to.
Everybody's talking about the NHL and their fixing of the Stanley Cup finals so far.
I don't think they're fixing the finals.
I've seen plenty of people going on and on about how the fix is on and all that kind of stuff.
Really? Don't get me wrong. It would absolutely be good for the game to have LA win a Stanley Cup, but these conspiracy theories are getting a little too much for my taste.
It's great if you just like sit there and watch. Last night while I was watching the game, a good portion of it, I was sitting there on my phone just like refreshing Twitter every once in a while to see just who was saying what kind of thing. And I saw a lot of people after what was this?
Henrique?
No, 23 of the Devils. Was it Clemson? What's his name?
Clarkson.
After Clarkson took that boarding penalty on Dustin Brown, I saw a lot of people go, the NHL's fixing this one again.
Really? Thought that was a homer call.
A lot of people were calling that a shady one. And then my favorite tweet of the night, I can't remember who it was, but I swear it was a guy from Sportsnet, who after Drew Doughty scored, he was like, did you see that close-up of Peter DeBoer's face? It totally said, son of a bitch, we only had one in us.
Well, there you go.
That was by far one of the highlights of the game for me.
Well done.
I forget who it was, but if you know who you are, congratulations.
If you know who you are.
A tweet of the night. I give you a golf clap. That was fantastic.
To suggest that this series has been fit, I mean, listen, when you've got a goaltender who's allowed one goal or fewer in 9 out of 18 playoff games, there's no fixing that. The guy is simply not being beaten.
That's the thing.
Unless Quick is in on the fix.
There has been a lot of talk about officiating throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, not just the finals.
And I'm one to get on the referee's back as much as anybody else when things go wrong. But again, just suggesting a fix.
Anybody who suggests that there's a conspiracy theory or that the NHL wants a specific team to win. Yeah, I'm sure, obviously, you know, hockey operations for the NHL and the marketing department are sitting there going, oh, man, I hope them Rangers are going to do it this year.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you think that they're not hoping for what's good for business, that's one thing. But to actually get on the phone, make a telephone call to an official and tell him that a specific team needs to win a specific game.
I know. Who do I think we are, professional boxing or the NBA?
But then it's still completely dependent upon the players of the team that is, you know, on the power play to, you know, follow through and score a goal in there. I mean, short of a ref calling a penalty every 30 seconds for the entire game, you can't call a fix. He can't call off goals if it's obviously a goal.
You know? I mean,
well, yeah, see, that's the thing. L.A. was shorthanded, what, six times the other night?
Well, that's it.
In
L.A.
one period.
And like we said last week, with L.A. being as good as they are scoring shorthanded, you're almost talking about a fix for them when the penalties are called against them.
Yeah, so, but going into the officials here, how have you seen officiating throughout the playoffs? Not just Stanley Cup final, but throughout the playoffs.
It looks a lot like the officiating during our league games. Like, it just seems like some of these guys know what they're doing and other guys just clearly don't. Making stupid calls or phantom calls or makeup calls, whatever you want to call it.
I mean, as weird as it sounds, I think some of the most blatant, like, terrible calls have gone against the LA Kings.
Yeah, I mean, I could
specifically Drew Doughty.
Yeah, Doughty gets unfairly
short end of the stick more than anybody.
Yeah,
I think that guy gets picked up by the refs. To be honest with you,
he's making too much money.
I have no idea what it is, but I think he's had some of the worst calls go against him that I've seen ever.
Ever.
That's a statement.
Man, that is a
statement.
There was
one the other night where the guy is holding his stick.
Yeah.
Going down the ice and then just goes, oh.
Well, that happened against.
Calls for a hook.
That happened against Phoenix as well.
Yeah,
it was the exact same situation where Whitney was holding
thing.
Onto his stick and fell down intentionally. And Doughty ended up with 2 minutes.
And he flipped his lid that first time.
Yeah.
And
rightfully so. Oh. I mean, that's a ridiculous call to make, especially with your playoff. I mean, anytime in the playoffs. Really, the rule's got to be unless
that the one against Phoenix that was either very close to the end of a tie game.
It was
the third period,
yeah.
Or even in overtime.
No, it was exactly that. It was right. It was during overtime.
Yeah.
And they managed to kill off the penalty, and then immediately came back. And actually, funny enough, that was the game that the Phoenix Coyotes complained most about the reffing.
Yeah.
Was the game that Whitney screwed the Kings out of a call in overtime. And realistically gave his team a chance to win and stay alive in the playoffs, and they couldn't do it.
It's just crazy that the same exact play happened to the same guy.
It is. Well, I mean, but listen, that's the order of the day. Do I think that the officials are in on a fix? Absolutely not. But are they inconsistent? Yeah, particularly this year. Yeah, you don't know what a penalty is day-to-day, period-to-period sometimes, depending on the outcome. There are a lot of, like Adam said, phantom calls and what appear to be even-up calls being made. It seems like one mistake is made and they're trying to make up for it by giving basically another mistake in the opposite direction. That's no way to let the Stanley Cup Finals play out. It's got to be a let-them-play mentality, and unless you're hacking at somebody really intent to injure, you're probably not going to get a call. And that's the way it should be in the playoffs. I like to see them fight it out.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people think the call on Clarkson was last night, that it was a makeup for the non-goalie interference call on Eliash on the Devils goal.
I could see that. I mean, I could see it being an even-up call. A conspiracy theory, maybe not.
The people that just... It was just funny watching Twitter explode as the game went on because everything pretty much happened in like a 6 minute, 5 minute.
It's amazing what happens when you give 500 million twits a platform.
Yeah,
huh?
I know. It's amazing. But so for that 6 minutes of that game when, you know, everything happened,
the 6 minutes of that game that were worth watching for the non-hockey fan.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game up until that point.
It was a fantastic game. And I actually had to watch most of it this morning. So, and
ultimately, at the end of the day, the only people that Kings or Kings fans can blame for that loss is the team themselves.
No, absolutely.
They had more than enough chances to put that game away.
I think it was
Justin
nerves.
Tenner had like 3 breakaways in the time span of 6 minutes.
Swift-footed Dustin Tenner should not be getting 3 breakaways in 6 minutes.
But they had there were so many times where they're breaking in on Brodeur and Penner didn't even like hit the net on his breakaway.
Well, actually, I don't know if you caught some of the post-game interviews, but Penner actually acknowledged the fact that the team probably was nervous.
Yeah.
But he basically pointed a finger at saying, listen, for a lot of guys in this room, it's the first time they've been there. And, you know, that what he dubbed, quote-unquote, a minor excuse is now gone. So he expects the team to bounce back. And I mean, you know what? Points for honesty. I like hearing that kind of just sort of brutal honesty, really, at the post-game presser. Like, you know what? We were nervous. It happens.
That's the Daryl Sutter way.
It really is. That's no BS.
And that team has very much taken on the persona of their coach.
They really have. Well, they're a great blue-collar hockey team. You talk about guys that are, you know, and I always use the phrase, but really drinking the Kool-Aid. They're buying in. They're taking the system.
We need some of that Kool-Aid.
I would like some of that Kool-Aid, yeah.
Although I will say the team totally rallied behind the great second intermission speech that our captain gave. We all drank that Kool-Aid last game.
Hey, listen, you know, we were down by 3 goals heading into the third, and the speech was essentially, well, it doesn't matter from here on out, so let's just attack.
We got nothing to lose.
It worked. We came back. We won.
Miraculously.
In a shootout.
In a shootout.
Yeah, but that game should have never gone to a shootout.
No. There were a 2-goal lead in that third period after being down by 3.
Yep.
Gotta love the beer league.
Yep. Gotta love the beer league. So, LA's going to do it Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? Even if they don't, I'm going to keep saying yes every game from here on out. They are the better team.
No.
Whoa. No. LA's going to lose on the road.
Yes, it has to happen.
No.
Yes.
It doesn't.
It does not.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't happen.
Hey.
You know how many t-shirts the NHL has printed up saying 11-0 on the road? 11-0 on the road to the cup.
Then Bettman's just going to use them
at night. Hey, NHL marketing department, give me a call.
Yeah, I'm sure they're looking for t-shirt designer / radio host.
So you say they're not going to win Saturday.
I know it defies all logic, but that is what I'm saying.
Everything about you defies logic.
Absolutely.
So they're going to win it in,
I don't know.
Well, clearly you don't think they're going to win 11 on the road. So if you don't think it's...
I didn't say they're not going to win 11 on the road. I said they're not going to win 11 on the road in a row.
Well, yes, they will.
Probably, but I just have undying faith in Martin Brodeur. In fact, you can check out www.offthecrossbar.com under the Adam O. Wells tab and see just what I think about Martin Brodeur.
Tell us a little about Martin Brodeur.
He's fantastic.
Really? That's all you got?
I can't give a little teaser
of the words on there for those of us that don't like to read?
No, I cannot. Go check out the website and read it. Awesome. All we need right the hits. Hits are good.
There's a lot of words there.
There are a lot of words. And how numbers. Many words are in your piece from this week?
None, because I don't have a piece from this week.
That's all right. I wrote a double length to cover you.
Double.
I went with the 1,500-word epic.
Which is also very good. Man. Check it out on the cover of www.offthecrossbar.com.
I could tell you right now, the piece that I'm working on that's probably going to be up early next week.
Mind-blasting.
Well, the average thing that I write that I sent to you is somewhere between 2 and 3 pages.
Sure.
Yeah. The thing that I wrote up that is going to be somehow put together into something, and probably up there on Monday or Tuesday... when I wrote it out, it was about 6 or 7 pages.
The thing with no length, no form, and no date. I'm excited. I cannot wait. You are a model of consistency.
Yeah, I know. But it's about 6 or 7 pages long, so it's a big thing.
So, is this going to be a series?
No.
Will this be released in pieces?
No. Nope.
I don't have that kind of attention span.
That's okay. You don't have to read it.
Oh.
Exactly.
Well, then it can't be measured in pages. Did you draw pictures? You know drawing pictures doesn't count as pages,
No, but the text that I have to read into a microphone.
There's 2 paragraphs and 6 pictures of James carrying the Stanley Cup done in Crayola.
I wish. I wish. So, you say 6 or 7 games there, Adam.
Are you asking me 6 or 7 or are you just telling me what I say?
No, what's your pick? Are they going to do it at home or are they going to go back to Jersey and win number 11 on the road?
I think they will win 11 on the road.
So you're saying game 7. This is the most non-committal, committed answer I have ever...
I think they're going to win it in 7.
They are going to win on Saturday. I just have the faith that Brodeur is going to pull out a win for them, as long as they can actually score a couple goals.
But they can't.
Yes, they will.
They can't.
They keep bringing... they better get their money's worth out of Parise, because I have a feeling the next...
Yeah, they've got Henrique.
the next game he plays will be his last in a New Jersey Devils uniform.
Interesting. Where is he going?
What if they win?
Well, I've got some options. Why don't you stay tuned for the trades and transactions portion of the show?
Well, how about we get into that right now?
I've got a little bit of a rant.
All right.
Not a rant. I've got a list.
A rant on this show?
I love rants. Rants are the best.
Well,
so we'll make the transition from current NHL season to, I guess, maybe the off season.
Yeah, well, I guess if we're talking about where Parise is going to end up, I think Parise has really come to a point where he is in the most enviable position that any free agent will be in for a very long time. With the collective bargaining agreement ending, with him coming into the final summer where teams can actually sign players to a front-loaded deal with no term limit, I have a feeling he's going to be locked up for a very long time. He has the potential to sign up to a 12-year deal.
How old is Parise?
Parise is 28 years old. You can sign up until you're 40 years old on these ridiculous contracts, the Kovalchuk-like deals.
He's going to sign in L.A.
He's going to sign in L.A.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
He's going to pull a Mariota.
Before they win, though, so then he can go and get the cup in L.A.
No, he's going to pull a Mariota.
No, it's not going
to
happen.
And then L.A. is going to make a final and lose to New Jersey next year.
Sweet.
I think that if you look at the teams that Parise could reasonably end up with and the teams that really have the space to take him on, you come up with a list of five that are genuinely seen as contenders. The Wild, the Leafs, James's favorite team of all time, the San Jose Sharks.
Man, they suck.
The Boston Bruins and what you just mentioned, of course, the Detroit Red Wings.
What about the Blue Jackets for Nash?
I just feel like LA has got enough money tied up in forwards. If they're going to go after a big name, I think they'll probably try to stock their blue line. You look at the offensive depth that they've found in the playoffs this year, with Justin Williams, with Dustin Penner now finding a little bit of his game in the playoffs again. Of course, Dustin Brown, Antti Kopitar, Mike Richards, Jeff Carter. You just don't need to spend your money there. And I have a feeling that Parise is going to take a lot of money in a long term.
The thing is, yeah, everything's working out pretty good now, but how often were we saying while we were doing these shows on a Thursday night in the middle of the regular season, oh, LA will probably win this game like 1-0 because they can't score more than one goal?
Well, I have a feeling that this playoff run, and now with Daryl Sutter, again, coming in and implementing his system, they're not going to have those struggles. If you look at, again, there's the depth chart up front. Simone Gagné, all the names I listed before, the Dustins, Carter, Richards, there's just an awful lot there. I don't know where Parise would fit. I mean, can you sign a guy to a 12-year front-loaded deal and then demote one of these guys to your third line? That's tough.
I could easily demote Dustin Penner to a third line.
Well, that's different. Not in the playoffs, you couldn't.
No, but regular season I could.
Sure. I just look at L.A. and I think if they're going to make a move, if they're going to stockpile somewhere, it's got to be on the blue line. It's where they are let the least deep.
I think he's staying in Jersey.
Interesting.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, because the team is aging, and realistically, this year has been an anomaly. They shouldn't be where they are. I mean, all credit to them. They've worked for it. They've earned it. They certainly haven't fluked their way in.
Like, let's not sell these guys short.
No.
They're sixth in the NHL.
But if you're going
102
to,
points.
But if you're going to sign a 12-year deal, which is what Parise will probably do, he will look for a lot of term on that deal because he will want that front-loaded big money contract because this is the last opportunity he's ever going to have to make that money. Are you going to stay with a team where Martin Brodeur is gone very, very soon? Maybe he stays 2 years. Then you're left 10 years with essentially a rebuild. And I don't know that he wants to do that. I mean, he is saying the right things. When talking about Larry Robinson moving on to a new position, he was asked in the media, and he said, you know, he could handle a head coaching job somewhere, but we'd really like it if he'd stay here. Well, that doesn't sound like a player who plans on going anywhere. But it may also just sound like a player who's saying the right things for his team in the middle of a deep playoff run.
Well, that's why he's captain, isn't he?
Well, of course. But
it'd be one thing to be like, you know, it's good to see him go. I'll be joining him wherever he is.
Yeah, maybe I'll go where he goes.
Ah,
But, I mean, he is saying the right things. I think he will probably be gone from New Jersey. I feel like this is New Jersey's swan song in terms of being a perennial contender. They'll probably be out of the running for the next few years. They've got a good management structure in place. Lou Lamoriello really knows what he's doing in terms of building teams up quickly.
He's also about 200 years old, though.
That's true. But he'll be fine. He's been around long enough. And he builds his teams without the flash and pizzazz that a lot of other teams have. He builds very much the blue-collar, built-for-the-playoff-type teams. So I think he'll probably be able to rebuild fairly quickly, but I don't see Parise sticking around. I would put him in Detroit. I mean, if I were him, that's where I would go of all the teams on that list. They've got the cap space.
But how much cap space do they have?
If you front-load that deal, you could be fine. And, I mean, that is the hole in the collective bargaining agreement
now. What was Lidstrom earning? I mean, with his salary.
Yeah, but they still have to give Suter a crap ton of money.
Well, they will go after him if they get him. Absolutely.
They're going to get him.
But keep in mind, again, as we mentioned last week, Brad Stewart is probably on his way out, looking to head back to the West Coast as well for personal reasons. So between Lidstrom and Stewart's salary, you could probably make a run at both, especially if you're willing to, like I said, offer Parise that term. If you can get him there for a decade and a half, you can find a way to spread that money out.
Makes sense.
Whoa. I think I just got a vote of confidence there.
Well, it sounds like you did some kind of math.
I don't know. As soon as I hear numbers, I just start nodding.
I don't feel like doing the math in my head on that one. So who else is hardcore up in their contract?
Well,
you've got Stewart.
Can we talk about A-Rad?
A-Rad.
What is the A-Rad situation right now?
Let's bring up A-Rad here because that was recently announced that Nashville. Surprise. K-Ross was shocked when he heard
I can't believe they thought that was a mistake. Really?
I mean, I got a call from K-Ross. He was like, man, did you hear the news?
I'm heartbroken. Maybe we could sign him in Montreal. I feel for the guy, this poor kid. He's never done anything wrong. He's a straight shooter. He follows the rules. He's completely unselfish. Why can't this guy find a team?
Why can't he catch a break? I mean, come on. So Nashville GM, what's his name? Boyle?
Yes.
Yeah, he came out and said the A-Rad experience here in Nashville has officially closed.
After a stellar 8-game regular season run. He did have a good first round. 5 points in 5 games.
So did the rest of the team.
Yeah, as they knocked off the Detroit Red Wings. He had, we'll call it, the traditional flashes of brilliance. But at the same time, cancer in the locker room, out drinking till the wee hours of the morning, and apparently not very well liked. No kidding.
I heard a rumor that the Rangers might try for him.
I heard that same rumor, printed by Craig Constance of ESPN this morning.
Oh. I saw it a couple days ago.
That guy seems like a fool to me. Could you imagine? And I think that's just the typical Rangers syndrome. Oh, there's a free agent who may not be worth the money. The Rangers are probably in the running.
Yeah, like, no,
they've got money.
I think his time in the NHL is done.
Yeah, maybe a team takes a run at him.
Really, though, who's that dumb? I mean, Montreal's already got Gomez, so they can't.
Yeah,
they can't get more dumb.
You know,
that's for a later segment. We've left the last hour for you guys to talk about.
I even brought my soapbox from home. A-Rad,
short.
There are a couple of places he could end up. Thank you very much. It's not my fault the microphone stands are so tall in this place.
One day we'll let him know that they're adjustable.
One day.
I'm a solid 5'7 on skates, all right?
And those 8-inch blade lifts really help. Hey,
they do, yeah. It's the Dr. Scholl's. I'm constantly gelling.
He's got the only high heel skate in the DWHL.
Oh.
So yeah, so A-Rad.
Yeah, A-Rad.
Womp, womp,
he could go to the Rangers. I could see a team like the Columbus Blue Jackets taking a run at him. If you're in a nothing left to lose situation, I could see a point per game player being worth throwing some money at. You never know. In worst case scenario, they cut him. It's not like they're going to be anywhere near the cap floor anyway. They're going to have to throw some ridiculous money at somebody. Maybe.
Hey, Florida.
Well, you know what? Florida, not looking too bad with their throwing money philosophy right now.
You know, that was a real patch job that they put together, but it was a damn good patch job.
Absolutely. And later on, we will get into why that patch job actually got Dale Tallon nominated for GM of the Year.
There you go. So, A-Rad, anybody? Anybody going to take him?
I don't think the Rangers Senators. Would take a run at him simply because
John Tortorella
spent a very long time trying to get the Sean Avery stank out of the dressing room. I don't see him going after another player with a similar reputation.
Was Zhirdev ever there when Torts got there?
Zhirdev, no, I don't believe he was.
He'd already been run out of town. Right?
I believe he'd been run out of everywhere.
Yeah, because I don't think New York wants another temperamental Russian.
No, I have a feeling that does not fit into their game plan.
No.
But they're so much fun.
The temperamental Russians?
Of course.
We need one on our team.
Yeah.
Do you know any?
We can
you know a guy.
We can turn out.
We're huge in Russia, apparently. We can just put out a call to our listeners.
All right. So any temperamental Russians listening?
Calm Russians need not apply.
Yeah, calm Russians. We don't want you guys. A-Rat, if you're listening. Give us a call.
If you're looking for...
Change channels.
No, you know what, though? Yeah. No, don't call us.
No.
We'll call you.
Don't call us.
Adam just wants Hal Gill's number.
We already have enough lazy back checkers on the team.
Hey.
That role is taken.
Don't you never talk bad about Hal Gill.
That was Radulov. Hal Gill doesn't need to back... Hal Gill doesn't need to back check. He's had a tendon in his own grease.
Hal Gill
just
is...
So we're clear.
Hal Gill just lies down on the goal line.
It works.
Hal Gill is the goal line.
When you're 9.5 feet tall,
yep.
That's a strategy. That's a defensive awareness.
That is a valid strategy at that. So, what other prominent free agents are there?
No, wait a second. You didn't even get to weigh in on the Radulov situation. You're not dodging that.
Oh, I said he's not staying.
He's going back to the KHL?
Yeah.
I would give that a 60% odds. I think if anybody makes a run at him, it will probably be a basement-dwelling team like the Blue Jackets. If, and that's a big if. That's a big question mark. So, who else is up?
I don't see anybody trading for his rights.
Seventh round draft pick or something. You might.
I don't know. That'd be me.
It's a high risk, high reward.
I'd just let him walk.
I would too. But there are
a lot of...
But goal scoring is at a premium in the National Hockey League right now, which is the only reason I think you may see a team take a stab at him.
He may be really good over the course of a regular season for a bad team, so maybe Columbus.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Other than that, I can't see him fitting in anywhere else.
Well, so
maybe
we're on
San
the same
Jose,
page.
But then. That's just because San Jose sucks.
Yeah, that's just because you want every bad player to go there.
I mean, they already have Joe Thornton down there, so might as well throw on Radulov.
All right, so also coming up on the free agent market, Mike Knuble was waived by the Washington Capitals.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
This year he had 6 goals and 12 assists, really one of the worst seasons of his career, creeping up on 40 years old. But to be fair, he was regularly put on the fourth line in Washington and was even a healthy scratch on a couple of occasions. This following 8 straight 20-goal seasons. Now, there's got to be a team out there, even at 40 years of age, who is willing to take a run at Mike Knuble. This is a guy who has proven to be a depth player, has no history of serious injury, no reason to believe he's out of gas. He was just put into a funny system between Bruce Boudreau, and Dale Hunter this year. It's not really the new Washington Capitals style that he fits into, so where does he go?
I'm Tambellini. I'm taking a serious look at him.
Absolutely. You talk about a veteran presence on a young team. I would also, again, take a look at the Detroit Red Wings. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at a team who has a history of bringing in veteran players with lots of experience in terms of developing character within the room, they've got a great track record. Yeah. And I could see him doing well there. I could also see a team...
But at the same time, if you're Detroit... You're maybe starting to look at your team and go, maybe older guys aren't the way to go.
Maybe.
Right now.
Yeah. But again,
they've got a lot of veteran presence on that team already.
That's true. But again, I look at Knubel as the guy who scored 20 goals in 8 straight seasons and not necessarily as a 39-year-old. I was surprised to learn that he would turn 40 this offseason when I read up on him today. I thought he was I had placed him in the 35-36 range. I thought he was a little younger than he is. He's got a lot of jump in him for a guy who's creeping up on 40.
How long can it last?
Well, after a season of playing sporadically on the fourth line and really not taking a ton of wear and tear, maybe a year or two. I mean, I don't expect him to get a 5-year deal anywhere.
No, but
he'll get a 1-year deal.
Yeah, you could easily sign him to like a 1-year.
Oh yeah,
1.5 to.
Oh yeah, he's exactly that in that price range. He's a second to third line player who is going to bring a lot of character to a team. I would be very seriously kicking the tires on Mike Knubel if I were Brian Burke right now as well.
Yeah.
I think that's a very, very good thing.
Any situation where you're kind of a young, scrambling team right now, so Toronto or Edmonton.
If you're looking for pugnacity and truculence, Knubel's your guy as well. I mean, well, truly, he fits the bill. You want a power forward who knows his role, there's your guy.
That's the thing. Like, I obviously, as an Edmonton fan, I'm looking at him going, I'd love to have that guy in the room kind of teaching Ryan Jones the ropes.
Yeah, there you go. That's a very good comparison. I mean, you talk about a guy who has the potential to grow into a Knubel role.
Like that's
perfect.
That's the guy that I would want. Like, I would put their lockers right next to each other. And like, I'd put them bunking on the road together, make sure that they're always...
James is going to duct tape their hands together when they stop at Applebee's.
just make sure that Ryan Jones has as much opportunity to learn everything he can from Mike Knubel. Because I think Ryan Jones is a hell of a hockey player. He just needs a little bit more guidance than what he's getting. And
I actually compare Ryan Jones a lot to the Canadiens' Ryan White.
Yeah.
I think the two of them have a very similar style of play and are about the same point in their career where they've got that potential.
And at one point, they both had really long hair.
Yeah, the real scrappy.
I think White cut his hair.
Did he?
I don't know. I think so. Didn't he?
I don't.
Maybe. If not, then they both had the same haircut.
Oh. Well, then. Terrible.
Pretty much. Like my old one.
Who else is coming up, too, for free agents? We've got
a bunch of goalies this summer, too.
There are a ton of goaltenders coming up.
31 of them.
Anyone
good?
I'm
not going to go through the list.
Anyone good?
Well, I mean, Marty Brodeur is technically, but who knows his name.
Well, yeah, I think you know either he's coming back as a Devil or not.
Yeah.
To quote from our previous conversation, he's either A, he's going to go somewhere new.
Oh, yes.
Two, he's going to go back to where he was. Three, he's just not going to do anything anymore.
Well, I mean,
that's for anybody who wasn't in James's living room before the show started, that's actually a reference to a comment that John Davidson made after interviewing with the Columbus Blue Jackets for a management position. He was, of course, president of operations right now for the St. Louis Blues, and a reporter asked him basically about his intentions for the future. I don't think the reporter realized that Davidson was messing with him. Because the reporter essentially jotted down as gospel fact that Davidson would either A, stay with the Blues, B, go to another team, C, return to broadcasting, or D, retire. Which is basically every person on earth with a job is going to wake up tomorrow and either A, continue doing what they're doing, B, go somewhere else, C, go back to what they were doing before, or D, not do anything at all. That's basically everybody's plan for the future that I have ever met in
that
my
is,
entire life.
That is some crack reporting.
That is a great report. And you know what? To be fair, as a matter of fact, I will 100% guarantee that John Davidson does one of those four things.
That's
the reporter is right.
You know what? That's an off the crossbar.
Fact.
Yeah.
Fact.
Absolutely.
John Davidson will do one of those things.
One of those four things.
So as for UFA goalies, as of July 1st, we'll define good here. Quote,
James
quote,
is over there, but the microphone is over here.
Yeah, he's got a microphone.
He sounds
here.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I sound okay. I can hear me too. Put on your headphones, champ. So there are 10 goalies who are in the over $1 million cap hit range that are going to be free agents this summer. To name a couple, Antero Nitimäki in San Jose, your favorite team.
Asked you if there was anybody good.
Well, no, because they'd be signed on contracts and happy to go. Dan Ellis, fantastic. Woo! No? Okay. How about Chris Mason of the Winnipeg Jets? Huh? Huh? Yeah, you like that one. Yeah. Jonas Gustafsson? Oh, the laughs. Good stuff. Johan Hedberg. I mean, hey, he might be...
So when I asked you,
the answer was no.
Good.
No, there's nothing exciting happening. I just wanted to point out the fact that there are a whole bunch of UFA goalies as of July 1st.
Well,
but
I'm on the market.
Good.
So getting into the goaltending situation and staying with that theme, there have been some maybe not free agent moves, but certainly the goaltending landscape has changed dramatically over the last 7 days when you're talking about the teams that are looking for help between the pipes. Vokoun traded to Pittsburgh. Well, his rights were traded to Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh signed him to a 2-year, $4 million deal. Last season, winning record, 25 wins, 17 losses, 12 in overtime. Pretty good numbers, .917 save percentage. I mean, had that groin tear in late February, so difficult to say how the home stretch of the season would have been for him. And, of course, with Holtby and Neuwirth both looking good at 24 and 22 years of age, respectively, Bokun's time had come. So now he is in Pittsburgh. Any surprise for that?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming at all.
No, me neither. I was dead shocked.
But it makes sense. I mean...
No, it doesn't.
No, because Fleury had a questionable end of the year. Brett Johnson's never been overly special in any way, shape, or form. And so, you know... If Fleury's not going to be reliable for them, it's good to have someone who has been proven as a solid goaltender.
And, hey, I agree. From Pittsburgh's perspective, this is a genius move. Why not go get Thomas Vokoun?
Up until the point where they started playing against Philadelphia, Fleury was more than reliable.
Yeah, but if it's in question at all, maybe there's some kind of injury or something that we don't know about with Fleury. Maybe Pittsburgh is just trying to, you know, have that in the bank in case something is a little worse than they thought. Who knows? But it's always great to have solid goaltending, and if you've got a solid backup goaltender,
then you're
all right.
I think from Pittsburgh's perspective, it does make a lot of sense. I'm surprised that Vokoun devalued his own services to that point, that he would put himself in a position to be a backup. I understand he is getting later on in his career and is looking to win a Stanley Cup, but don't you generally do that a little older? I mean, to sign on as the veteran backup presence, especially when you've got... I mean, why is he not a Toronto Maple Leaf today? Why is he not a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning? What is he doing?
Who would want to be a Leaf? Sorry, Craig. As to why not in Tampa, who knows?
If you want to be a starter in a major hockey market, he has the opportunity, and instead he chose to be a backup in a major hockey market. Which is an interesting decision, and it, like I said, certainly bodes well for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Why not take this guy on, let him take 20 games, take some of the workload off of Fleury? Great idea. But this is a guy who legitimately could be a number one goaltender. He had a pretty good year up until the injury last year.
He was doing really good.
Exactly.
Maybe Fleury's going to take a sabbatical.
25, 17, and 12.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, maybe Fleury's going to take a sabbatical.
No. Yes, a sabbatical.
Maybe he has other things in life that he needs to attend to.
The three Fs.
Are we gonna get on this one? Let's go
for it.
Well,
Adam
Tim
looks
Thomas,
like he really wants to talk about this one.
Tim Thomas through Facebook, because he is incapable of speaking to other human beings because he's too busy rocking back and forth on his front porch with a shotgun, sipping moonshine, apparently. He announces through Facebook that he will be taking a year off, sticking the Boston Bruins with his salary cap hit, which is $5 million for this coming year, and basically eliminating their ability to move him before his no-trade clause comes to an end on July 1st. He's basically called their bluff, put the team in a very bad position, yet again proving himself to be...
a selfish idiot.
I would go with terrible teammate.
That too.
As much as I'm sure a lot of the guys in the team are exceptionally grateful for the fact that without him, they do not have a Stanley Cup ring.
Yeah.
Since that day, his track record has not been good. And it's difficult to separate the two because it is a goaltender who was exceptional and essentially put the team on his back and took them to the Stanley Cup. But since that day, he has been...
He was like the Brad Richards of goaltending.
Or like the many other goaltenders who have done the exact same thing on many occasions in the history of hockey.
I have to do
No, but here, from his Facebook page on Sunday, at the age of 38...
Are you friends with Tim Thomas on Facebook?
Oh, hell no, I got this off the internet.
Oh, talking about haircuts, where'd the mustache go, Timmy?
I know, right? At the age of 38, I believe that it is time to put my time and energies into those areas and relationships that I feel that I have neglected. That is why, at this time, I feel that the most important thing I can do in my life is to reconnect with the three Fs, friends, family, and praise Jesus, faith.
And listen, you know what? If that is his legitimate concern, I'm all right with that. That is fine by me, but you need to retire so that you don't screw your team over.
Yeah, but later on, also throughout his little comments, he also had to throw in a little thing. Although I won't be playing, I will be concentrating on my physical training, and I can't remember the names because I can't find it. But he basically pitched commercials for two of his sponsors, too.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, the two websites he's working with that I don't care to mention here. I actually do have notes on that, but I don't care to share that Tim Thomas money-making venture.
Tremendous.
On my time. But...
coming next week, new sponsor, Out the Crossbar.
And I mean, this is like, and to just complete the lunacy, before actually offering an explanation on his Facebook page, Tim Thomas did post two links from essentially right-wing extreme websites predicting or forecasting economic ruin, along with the phrase, "See why hockey's just not that important right now?" ? So,
I think Adam found something.
No, he found the proper Facebook page for Tim Thomas is what he found.
Yeah. Oh, he found the other
the
one.
Real at the real Tim Thomas. basically, his first explanation for not wanting to play was that the end of the world is coming, the economy's going to collapse. I need to focus on this. And then went back and said he needed to focus on friends, family, and faith.
Is he running for office?
No, he just needs to go bury his money in the woods somewhere so that the government can't get to it.
So, is there a team that would be willing... because let's face it, the Bruins still have the right to trade his rights. Is there a team out there that says, you know what, maybe. Maybe we could talk him back into coming back. Yeah, Philly, hey, why not?
I mean, they're dumb enough.
Does Columbus take a run? They've got the cap space. They're going to need to get to the floor. Maybe they can talk him into coming back.
Maybe.
I mean, we can't rule out Columbus taking a run at any player at this point.
Anybody who needs to hit that cap floor.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's $3 million in salary, $5 million in cap hit to take on Thomas's contract this year.
Why not?
I mean, does anybody owe Peter Chiarelli a favor?
Not that I know.
This could be a situation like Brian Burke taking on Olaf Kolzig a couple of years ago and then just immediately burying it.
Yeah.
That was a salary dump, period, the end.
For sure.
Is it possible?
Maybe. I don't know.
Now,
there are the. Yeah, I could see something like, you know, hey, you want to take Thomas off of our hand, and then the next time you have a guy, we'll take him off your hand, kind of thing.
Thomas Varajilov, straight up.
Really, of all the overpriced contracts in the world, do you think of Radulov?
No, I just think
Scott
get him the hell off
doesn't
my
come
team.
To mind for you.
If Tim Thomas ends up in this city, oh man, he's just going to be walking up and down St. Catherine banging pots and pans all night. That's all he's going to be. Any excuse to protest.
Speaking in American and American only.
Now here's an interesting idea that I would actually pitch. Tim Thomas, very disappointed, obviously, with the results of the 2000.
He should go to Washington.
Yeah, hey, he would fit right in.
He'd be right there, man. Right there.
Obviously disappointed in the 2010 run with the U.S. Olympic team, of course, losing in overtime. Now, with things...
He also made a thing that he wants to be part of the next U.S. Olympic team.
Exactly.
And he has zero chance in hell.
Unless
that is now Jonathan
unless
Quick.
Jonathan Quick
that is
dies.
Jonathan Quick and Ryan Miller's team.
Unless
and Schneider.
The NHLPA loses the argument in arbitration about going to the Olympics.
Yeah,
because if Tim Thomas sits out this year and professional hockey players are not allowed to go to the Olympics, Tim Thomas will no longer be a professional hockey player at that point. Now, you look at a guy who's got a Vezina, a Conn Smythe.
But couldn't he still play this upcoming season and then not play the season after that?
I'm not sure how the rules work, but I do know for a fact that if he does not play, he is certainly not a professional hockey player.
He's even not very professional in anything he does.
Well, no, but could he be gearing up for a run? Now, I look at a guy who's priorities are all screwy. He loves to do things based on symbolism and based on making a stand and blah, blah, blah. This could very easily just be a clever ploy to put himself in a position where he goes and does whatever for the next year, focuses on training, resting, and makes a run at the U.S. Olympic team with the intention of winning a gold medal to add to his resume before he retires. I think that may be not even in the back of his mind. I think that might be what's going on in the front of his mind right now. He knows he's going to be outdueled by Tuukka Rask.
Yes. And my only problem with that is the fact that I don't see the NHL not going to the Olympics.
Oh, neither do I.
No, because they want to win. And they want all their boys want to be there and play for their countries. I mean, we've had this discussion before about how serious they are about it. But, I mean...
Well, like, regardless of how serious... you know, anybody is really about it, all you have to do is look at Alexander Ovechkin.
Oh, he's already serious. Stated, dead set. He's
already
going.
Stated.
Yeah.
He will do whatever he has to. He will take time off from the NHL. He will do whatever it takes
absolutely.
To be at those Olympics. There's not a chance in hell that the NHL is going to let that happen and not go and him just not be in the NHL that year.
Or maybe they call this bluff. Maybe Ovechkin doesn't actually feel that way.
Okay.
I think he does. I don't think Ovechkin says things like that without meaning them.
Ovechkin is not bluffing on that one.
No.
Not a chance.
But
he means it.
Regardless, does that mean that... That doesn't necessarily mean that Tim Thomas isn't thinking that. And I would suggest the way his priorities are set right now, maybe he just wants to win that one. Maybe he's putting himself in a position where he can guarantee himself that no matter what happens, he has a chance.
Hmm. I don't know, because if the NHL does go...
It's clearly Jonathan Quick's.
Yeah, it's Jonathan Quick and Ryan Miller.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's 100%.
I'm not even 100% on Ryan Miller. I think he...
I'd easily take Ryan Miller as my backup.
Yeah, yeah.
You can make a case for Corey
Schneider.
Yeah,
you can make a very good case for Corey Schneider, depending on how this next season goes.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people ahead of Tim Thomas.
I have Jonathan Quick as my number one, Ryan Miller as my number two, and Corey Schneider as my number three.
Well,
you're looking at that goaltending trio right there going, man, I could put anybody in net.
You're
it
right.
It doesn't matter.
So what I'm saying is that regardless of what Tim Thomas does, if the pros go, he doesn't get
he's
a chance anyway. If the pros don't go, he puts himself in the perfect position to be that guy.
Yeah.
And if the pros don't go and you've got Tim Thomas in net, you've got a pretty good chance of winning gold. Because you put Tim Thomas up against the best amateurs in the world, he's still got the game. He still had the game this year to dominate in the NHL at
given
points.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing, though. It's not the best amateurs in the world. Because just because the NHL doesn't go doesn't mean that professionals aren't going to be there. You are still going to have every single professional hockey player in the entire country of Russia that is going to be playing in that.
Hey, listen, I completely
agree. That's where you get guys like Radulov and other dudes playing in the KHL that are going to be there.
But Thomas still gives himself the best chance.
Oh, yeah. If he's not selfish. If the NHL doesn't go, fine. Thomas, easily, probably the number one choice for the U.S. goalie at that point, unless there's like a 20-year-old at the World Juniors, so really is awesome. But still, that team that will be in front of him will not be nearly as good as the professionals that are playing in Europe.
I agree. But the Olympics are one and done. And Thomas has the capacity to steal games against anybody.
That is true.
And listen, I don't like the guy. I'm the first one to take a knock on him when I can. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like the way he conducts himself. I don't think he acts like a professional should. And like I said, I've always said, I'm all about doing things the right way. I don't respect the fact that Thomas does not do things the right way. But I have to give him his respect. He is a good hockey player. He is great at stopping pucks. And he could win an Olympic gold medal by himself.
All by himself?
All
no
by
help?
Just him.
Just him?
Just him.
Absolutely. Just Tim Thomas skating around the ice.
Just get every game to a shootout. He'll be fine.
On his own breakaway. Adam looks like he's going to come out on breakaways half the time. There you are. I've been trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah, her phone is vibrating over there, and she was on the other end of the house.
I only realized that after, because it is pretty much 9 o'clock right now, which can mean that we're going to take a quick break. But first, before we do, in fact, go to that break if you've been keeping track of Off the Crossbar on our Facebook and on the actual site itself. I keep mentioning about the future son that I'm going to have. And so that led me to this. It is time for the official Off the Crossbar baby report.
Lisa, you have the best theme music of all of us. Hands down.
With my lovely wife, Lisa, because the baby is kind of somewhat on his way.
It could be a day, it could be a month, it could be...
We don't know yet, but the doctor says sooner rather than later.
Well, it's still
a... Yeah, but if he's anything like...
If he's anything like me, he'll be late.
Yeah, he'll show up 5 minutes before game time and just, you know, walk on off, hey, y'all.
So, but no baby yet, but the baby has started coming.
Yeah. Are you excited?
We'll have to come out
on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Tuesday. Make sure you send out that interval memo.
Yeah, I know.
We'll have to go
on
the labor
room
Tuesday and he'll be born on Wednesday.
Well, if he's anything like his father, just to spite you, he'll come sometime midday on Sunday.
No, if she says that he's allowed to come on Tuesday, her water will break at 11:54 Tuesday night.
Yeah, that's about right.
Well, that's
fine.
Well, I said he'll be only born on Wednesday.
But, maybe it'll be 11:54 on Monday. Who knows? But also a big thanks to Karen for the amazing room that she painted.
Epic room.
It was a fantastic mural.
We'll be sure to put the pictures up online, either on the Facebook or on the website, so that you can maybe contract her if you're ever having a kid for newlyweds or soon-to-be newlyweds.
Or Amish barn raisings.
They're not big on giraffe paintings, I hear.
No, but she would paint a mean mural for Jebediah on the side of the barn.
It would be a picture of another barn.
She's very good at drawing pictures of pictures and stuff. So anything you want, she can probably do.
Nice.
We have a picture of it.
And, awesome.
And the more violent, the better.
Yeah. She's an interesting
goal. That she is.
Well, there we go.
But we're going to take a quick break. We've got some generic random music for you that I think I picked out. But you are listening to
Off the Crossbar Live, presented by BackSportsPage.com and, of course, OffTheCrossbar.com.
Hi, I'm James Foster from CMRS Radio. Being on the radio, I need to make sure that I look good. That's why I go to Corner Cuts in the heart of Door Valley, where looking good starts with your hair. At Corner Cuts, your hair is always priority number one. And the best part? You can get all the fancy salon styles without needing a bank loan to do so. Call 514-726-6047 to book your appointment today. Because at Corner Cuts, the only corners cut are on prices.
Hello, this is Jean-Guy Poutin. You're listening to the Tree and Glows on Off the Crossbar. Gorgeous.
Thank you. brought to you by the OG Eagles, the 2011-12 Asia League Ice Hockey Champions. Congrats, boys, on the big championship this year. We know you're big fans of the show. Anata no kazoko no meo motarashita.
Well, I guess that is it. I love the deep breath before the Japanese. Congratulations. Well done.
It's a lot to say.
It is a lot to say.
The translation, well, roughly translates to, anyway, I hope, is that you have brought honor upon your families. Yes.
That's not what it says.
My Japanese is a little bit rusty, however.
Well, you know what? It was a great effort. And
pretty sure you just ordered a taco.
Congratulations to those Eagles.
The OG Eagles.
They're
princes among men.
They're big fans of the show.
They are.
Just
big fans.
Big fans. And the show is...
You are listening to Off the Crossbar Live, presented by BackSportsPage.com on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday evening from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and available for download, podcast, and streaming on OffTheCrossbar.com.
You'd think after all this time, this is what, 14 episodes that I said?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd think after all this time I'd stop pointing to him every time it gets to the point where it's like, what show is this again?
No, you better keep pointing.
Yeah.
I'm going to need at least another 14 weeks of prompts.
I'll say it one day.
Probably. But hey, at least I know the date. It's June 7th.
Ooh, halfway through
all
the show
day.
This time.
Yeah, I know.
No,
I know.
He had it at the beginning.
I got it at the
intro.
Beginning,
oh, did
too.
He nailed
well
it.
Done.
I totally
well done.
Did.
Before we get started on the second half of the show, I would like to take the opportunity to wish my lovely parents a very happy 20th wedding anniversary as of yesterday, June 6th. They have officially tolerated each other for two solid decades. So congratulations, guys. I love you very much, and enjoy.
And
yeah, Reed.
Hey, while we're on the subject, why not? I would also like to throw out a big congratulations to your lovely wife for her big old graduation the other day.
Oh, thank you very much. That is
her doctor
the
badge.
Hey, you didn't do anything. It was all her, man.
The well, thank you very much for reminding. Of course, Dr. Dale Robertson receiving her med school degree
officially
just 2 days
doctor.
Ago. Officially
fact.
A doctor. How do you like that? Guys, 5 weeks ago, I was a personal trainer engaged to a med student. I am now a full-time writer married to a doctor.
And a truck owner.
And a truck owner. It's been a big couple
and
of weeks.
And a mediocre podcaster.
And in slightly below average broadcaster.
That's okay. We're all in the same boat with you on that one.
Awesome.
As well. So as we went to break, you mentioned that we still got more transactions.
We have a trifecta of transactions to discuss.
All right. Let's do them rapid fire.
All right. Well, this one's going to be the quick and dirty, nice and easy. Jaromir Jagr has come out and said officially through his agent, Peter Savoda, that he would like to stay with the Philadelphia Flyers for one more year. I assume they're not stupid, and they will go ahead and take him up on that offer.
That's a tough one.
I'd take Jagr.
Yeah, no, okay.
Hitting?
I would take him, too. But
it's just tough to say that the Flyers aren't stupid.
Yes. That's the only problem that I have with
it
that.
It does feel
right
strange
there.
To say.
That'd be like saying the San Jose Sharks don't suck. It just doesn't happen.
I would happily welcome him here in Montreal if they decide that he is not, in fact, wanted.
Well, you know, he wanted to play in Montreal initially, and then they were too stupid to say, sure, yeah, come on.
I believe they tried to pursue him because of his desire to play with Thomas Pulkanik.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought he wanted to come here because
he was
wanted to play with Fleck, but then idiot, the man who says no words, Gauthier, said thanks but no thanks. Well, he would have said merci, mais non merci. But yeah, he was stupid.
I believe Montreal was on his short list and they tried, but they weren't willing to offer him enough.
$1 million? What's he getting paid?
I have no idea what he's getting paid. I have a stat.
You have
a things
computer
like that.
In front of you.
So yes, we are all in agreement here that Philadelphia will most likely just continue signing him to one-year deals for as long as he is productive on the power play and as long
million.
As he wants to come back. So 3.3, I don't think Montreal would have offered him 3.3. I would even suggest that maybe that's a little high on the spectrum of what he should be paid.
He'll probably get maybe two.
He'll get 2 to 2.5 maybe.
Yeah.
He did have a great year last year, but 3.3 is... That's a lot for a one-year deal on a guy like Jagr. And I got a lot of respect for Jagr.
Here's an interesting little fact. Since 1989, so between 89 and 2012, Jaromir Jagr has earned $101,338,851 from the NHL.
And that doesn't even include the mullet cuts endorsement.
Yeah,
I know.
That's a huge deal in Russia.
That is a ton of cash. This website's cool.
What are you on, Kapke?
No.
Oh.
HockeyZonePlus.com.
But go to our website instead.
www.offthecrossbar.com.
We will totally post links. Yeah. We need to post links. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Number two.
All right, number two. Bobby Lue is not an impending free agent, but will be dealt, all signs say. He is very much a hot commodity on the market right now. I think he's seeing his stock rise very rapidly with the trade and sign of Thomas Vokoun and the flutter and fall away of Tim Thomas, as it is. Any predictions on where you see him ending up other than the massive rumor mill linking him to the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Florida or Tampa?
Florida.
Back in Florida, eh?
I would suggest that Talon may be happy with Theodore. Not as happy as he would be with Luongo, but I think they're pretty much locked in there.
I'd say one of those two.
Really?
Yep. Doesn't he have a no trade?
Yeah, he can pick his teams. Yeah. No,
he waived it in...
He said he would be willing to submit a list.
Give a list, yeah.
Yeah.
Ideally...
I know if he had the choice, he'd go back to Florida.
If he had the choice, he would. I mean, his wife is from Florida, and he really had his best years there, really enjoyed himself.
And there's no pressure.
And there is a significant lack of pressure.
He thrive in obscurity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he can't deal with it.
But that being said, I don't know that either of those Florida teams will remain in relative obscurity for much longer.
Yeah, but compared to the markets that would be up here.
Oh, absolutely. But I don't. I'm just saying that he could be.
Right now, LA, for as hot as they are in the city of LA, nothing that they're going through right now is anything compared to any of the Canadian cities.
Yeah,
no, I completely agree with that. Before he has a nervous breakdown.
Or.
He wouldn't go to Toronto.
He does exactly. Or he's looking for a chance to prove himself. And to prove that he can do it in a big market and that he isn't the fluke that people seem to think he is or the regular season phenomenon.
Well, what more does he need to prove himself? He had enough chances in bloody Vancouver. It's not like he didn't have a team in front of him.
But I've never seen a man with an Olympic gold medal, several President's Trophies, and a Stanley Cup Game 7 Finals appearance who has less respect around the league.
Because it just seems as though all the things that he's won, he hasn't been enough of an integral part in obtaining it. He's just been along for a ride.
And yes,
he is a good goaltender, but just not when it counts.
And I completely agree with you, which is exactly why I think he may be, if he's got a shred of pride, if he's got the willingness to leave, or the want, to leave a lasting legacy behind, he may want to fix his reputation and take on the challenge of playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That being said, I haven't seen anything in his character or in his mannerisms that leads me to believe he would do that. But if it were me, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah, he was captain of the Canucks for half a season.
Is he going to go anywhere and not be captain? Is that part of his contract?
But even that should show a little bit more character in the room than he's maybe given credit for. Is the fact that, listen, you don't get a C on your jersey unless your teammates believe
you. He didn't get a C on his jersey.
Or on his mask, or on the score sheet, or whatever the case may be. I completely agree with James that he would end up again in Florida, but not in Miami.
Toronto.
I think he will probably go to Tampa Bay.
It's either Tampa or Florida.
It's a better situation for
Toronto
him.
Toronto would also be a good compromise for him, though, as far as his lady friend and everything goes, because he'd spend a lot of time up and down the East Coast, and he'd be in Montreal a lot as well, and he's got all of his family here. So, I mean, if he does have the nards to actually go and try to show what he can do in a market where it's going to be under the microscope all the time, Toronto would be the place to do
absolutely.
The man up.
But he doesn't, and that's
no.
the key
And
point.
We like talking a lot of crap about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but realistically, they're a team that is on the upswing. They're a team that went through some struggles even while rebuilding.
They're a goalie and one defenseman away from being a really good team.
Yeah. Or maybe a legitimate forward. If they can get Rick Nash and Roberto Luongo...
Well, I still think they just need... one solid defenseman on D and a good enough goalie to make a save when you need to,
Yeah, listen,
I'll easily put them in the playoffs.
They've got a lot of pieces in place, and they had a team that both overperformed and underperformed at points during this past hockey season, which makes them very difficult to label when it comes to, are they a playoff team, are they not?
Yeah.
But you add in, exactly as you said, the two missing pieces, yeah, they are. They really are.
They instantly become a contending playoff team.
And they've got the right coach in place in Randy Carlyle right now.
It'll be interesting to see how he takes that team for a full season.
His coaching style really matches, on paper at least, the horses they've got in the stable. I mean,
I don't know.
They're built to play his style of game.
I'll be more interested to see what happens with him and Joffrey Leupold.
That will be interesting because he is essentially the man who gave up on Joffrey Leupold.
He is.
But I would like to think that both of them are professionals.
For sure.
After the season that Leupold had, listen, Leupold wasn't the player four years ago that he is now.
But he wasn't playing with Phil Kessel.
Phil Kessel.
Hi.
Phil Kessel.
Phil from Toronto.
Phil likes playing with Joffrey Leupold as well. He's very good.
Hockey's makes him, fun game.
He makes him feel good about his receding hairline at the age of 23.
I like making money to play hockey. Girls talk to me.
I was picked last in the NHL All-Star Draft and I got a car.
I blew up the Hyundai they gave me for fun. Anyway, where does Luongo end up, guys?
Tampa or Florida.
Adam?
Yeah, because he doesn't have the guts to go play in Toronto and make something of it.
Because,
I'm going to go ahead and say that he will end up in Toronto.
Oh.
My brain is telling me no, he wants to go to Tampa.
How much of a cap hit is he?
Too much.
Was he a $5 million cap hit?
I don't think it's the amount of cap hit. I think it's the fact that he signed through 2065.
Sucker.
Well, I'm trying to think here.
6.716 for 2012.
That's salary?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think his cap hit is somewhere closer to the five or five and a half.
I'm pretty sure it's generally five for the remainder of his contract.
Cap hit 6.75. That's
5.333. Yeah.
Yeah.
So exactly in the middle of what the two of us said. The cap hit is not a major deal. If you're looking for a solid number one goaltender, you're willing to pay the $5 million price range.
Here, I think he's going to Tampa or Florida. My off-the-board pick, where I have no doubt in my mind he will never end up, but it would be a damn good pickup if they got him, the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. Mm. That's a scary situation, but
never happened.
I don't think they can afford the cap hit.
No, they are still reeling from the cup run.
Yeah,
in terms of cap.
But that'd be the off the board.
Yeah,
holy
you were just
crap. How did he end up there, kind of thing? And it would be amazing to see him there because it's not like Vancouver and Chicago don't just play each other almost every year in the playoffs nowadays. So it'd be really funny to see Vancouver, Chicago in the first round of next year's playoffs. With a goalie matchup of Luongo and Corey Schneider.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be
amazing. I would love to see that.
I would actually pay for a ticket to one of those games.
So, we've decided where Luongo's going to go.
Florida. Surprise, surprise.
I'm going to go with Toronto. Again, I do, and listen, my brain says Tampa, my heart says he'll go to Florida. Something in my gut says, in Toronto. My gut says he will want to prove a point. Here's a guy who has been essentially pushed around by the media for his entire career, and maybe he wants to prove a point. He's still got a couple of very good years in the tank, and he could do it.
Put his stupid money where his stupid mouth is.
Stupid.
I feel some resentment towards Lamar.
Alrighty, then.
Who's number three on the docket?
Number three is the prize possession of the offseason. Again, not a free agent, but has essentially been thrown under the bus already by his general manager, Rick Nash. The prize catch. There are a lot of teams in the running. There are a lot of teams rumored to be after him right now. Any thoughts on where you think he may end up?
$7.8 million cap hit. Who's got the space?
anybody who's got the commodities to trade will have to trade a similar value in assets. I don't think cap hit is necessarily...
The only team that I could see for... I don't even know why I'm saying this either.
San Jose Sharks.
Yeah.
I think you've got too many cooks in the kitchen if he's in San Jose.
That's the thing. They're going to blow up San Jose.
Yeah, if they blow up San Jose, yeah, listen, if you're going to send a team of players back, they've got the assets to move.
What is it? Who's the coach over there? Who's the GM over there? Is it Doug Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Doug Wilson. He's been there long enough as the GM of that team. He's cleared out goalies. He's cleared out coaches. There is something else wrong with that team.
And they have...
And it is wearing number 19 as a big fat guy at your center ice. That's your main problem in San Jose.
See, I think the only way that you can convince Rick Nash to go to San Jose...
Is with Joe Thornton there.
Is to keep Joe Thornton there. He's never had a legitimate playmaker beside him to help him pull the trigger. He's always been a one-man show.
Well,
and
no,
I
that's
think
the thing.
He's
Joe Thornton's not a goal scorer. He is a playmaker.
Well, exactly.
They put him on a line with Danny freaking Heatley, and they still couldn't do it.
Danny
Heatley is nothing but a goal scorer.
But even, I don't think they did it in the playoffs, but you look at regular season success.
They did?
No, that's what I mean. They didn't get the job done in the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's,
but they did have regular season success. Thornton's been putting up 60 to 70 assists on a regular basis.
Great. Good for Joe.
But my point just being that, listen, Nash has never had playoff success. He's never had regular season success. He's had regular season success. Not as a team.
No.
And that's what I mean, is that
dude's a hell of a goal scorer.
But my point just being that he may want to go somewhere where at least they're getting into the playoffs.
Well,
and San Jose is a good destination for that if you can leave Joe Thornton there.
You probably can leave Joe Thornton there and get rid of Patrick Marleau.
Well, I don't think you've got anything to back it up then. And I think it's a dangerous situation. I agree with you. They definitely are one of the main teams in the running, and they certainly have the goaltending assets to move. Whether you're looking at, I mean, they could make any goaltender in their system available, whether it's Greiss, whether it's Nidamaki, whoever you want to move, or Niemi, they could move them. They're all available if Rick Nash is in play. And Columbus may be looking to get that back. Another team could be always, again, when you're talking about a big name, the Rangers are in play.
What do they give up?
Well, that's the problem. If they're looking for a goaltender, all they've got that's movable is Marty Baron, and you don't build a franchise around Martin Baron. He's a good backup. He's a very good backup and a quality goaltender at the NHL level. He could even come in and play a good stretch of games for you in the event of injury. You could get him in for half a season and not really worry about your goaltending. But he's not the guy you're going to build from scratch around at this point. Washington has repeatedly come up in rumors out of D.C. I haven't heard it coming out of anywhere else, but you've got Neuwirth there. You've got Holtby there. You've got Semin, who doesn't want to be there anymore. You've got Knubel coming off the books. You've got the cap space. You've got the tradable commodities. And you've got a very talented offensive team that might pique Nash's interest.
Maybe.
It doesn't sit right in the pit of my stomach.
I'm looking around and there's not very many teams that I could even see him going to.
Washington makes sense.
I don't even see Columbus really looking at anything that can come back from a lot of these teams because they're going to be asking for a hell of a lot.
Well, what about someone like Alexander Semin?
Because they don't have to trade him.
At this point they either need to do a PR miracle or they need to trade him.
What about someone like Semin?
Yeah, and that's a point. Alex Semin, along with a young goaltender.
Yeah, but Semin's a free agent, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a UFA this year, so...
I mean, you could trade his rights if you could get him to sign.
Yeah. You'd have to work at a deal prior to that.
Or it could be a sign-and-trade.
Yeah.
Could be very easily be a sign-and-trade.
Yeah, well, no,
Semin wants
like,
to be somewhere where he is the guy, and he feels like he has the ability to be that guy on a team who is the go-to player in all situations, and he does have that ability. And if he wants to go somewhere, you're not going to get a better opportunity to be the number one star than you're going to get in Columbus in the next couple of years. And if you can take a young goaltender with you, it probably wouldn't be Holtby, based on the way the playoffs went. Norbert is...
Columbus is... Have they specifically stated they want a goalie?
No, but it's pretty obvious. They do not want Mason in the net next year.
Yeah, because Minnesota's got a goalie to burn, don't they?
They could, yeah. Josh Harding could move. Is he a number one guy? I know Toronto's been kicking the tires on him as well. He's been very, very good in his appearances, but he doesn't have the pedigree. He doesn't have even a full season's worth of NHL experience under him yet. He looks like he's got a very high ceiling in terms of potential. Well, do they have anything else that they could move? Who else are you going to say? I mean, because that's not a fair trade.
Yeah, I know.
And you're going to need some commodities.
Well, you're giving up some serious draft picks.
You're mortgaging the future.
Yeah.
But they were a very good team. They were first place in December. Yeah, first place in December. And until that Mikko Koivu injury, looked like they had a chance to make a
big run. And
if there's
one thing they could use, it's more goal scoring. And
absolutely.
They're a hell of a team at that point, so you never know.
But and again, I really look at the coaching situation and ask myself, if I'm Rick Nash at this point, do I want to play for Jacques Lemaire? Or do I want to go to somewhere? If he's getting to pick his destination, he's a goal scorer.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to go somewhere that's focused on scoring goals.
And the best place that he could possibly end up, and which would be a good pair off, I think, for Columbus on top of that, they just wouldn't be able to pull off the deal because they're in too much cap trouble right now. Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good. I would also look at...
Nashville's got a hell of a backup goalie that I guarantee a Columbus would want.
That's a good point.
That guy's like 6'8" or something like that.
He takes up a lot of net.
I forget what his name is, but he's Zdeno Chara big.
That's an interesting point. It really is.
But they're in too much cap trouble as is. Like, they can't even sign all of the guys that they have. They can't take on a Rick Nash contract.
Well, you know, you're looking at the Los Angeles Kings potentially taking on Zach Parise. Why not take on Rick Nash?
Oh, hell, if they can pick up Rick Nash and get rid of...
Jonathan Bernier.
Yeah, Jonathan Bernier. There you go.
And now there's a young goaltender that you could absolutely build a franchise around.
Yeah, but I'm still hoping it's up in...
Anders Lindback.
Bernier.
There you
go.
Lindback. Again, how tall is he? Can you get his height for me?
Looking for it.
He's a beast.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
And hey, you know, give Nashville all the credit in the world. They have two... really good goalie.
Yeah, stellar
there.
Goaltender.
Like, easily one of the best.
6'6".
That's it?
Flat-footed.
A lot bigger than that.
Goalie skates give an extra inch.
Yeah, 6'6" on a goaltender is, though.
But yeah, but
quite tall.
But looking at the Nashville goalie situation, you're like, man, Nashville, L.A., both have a goalie to burn.
And particularly if Suter's on his way out, then you've got the room.
Yeah, then you have the room to still sign Weber. And if you bring in a guy like Rick Nash, you're trying to prove to Shea Weber, hey,
we're
serious going forward. Because, you know what, like, yeah, okay, Suter's a hell of a defenseman, but Nashville defensively, they have Pekka-Rinne and Nets, they have Weber, and they have a good core around those guys.
Yeah, they do, and they've got some great young players
problem,
in the system.
As it was in this Stanley Cup playoff, was scoring goals.
It really was.
You want a guy that's going to score you a goal.
That you saw this year, minus Radulov, plus Nash?
That's a nice thing to imagine.
Sort of Mike picked that up. Adam just had a sigh of contentment at that very idea.
And hell, you know what? If you're Nashville, throw in the rights to Radulov. Why the hell not?
Well, we have already said that's a potential, right?
Yeah.
Let him go.
Maybe he would want to be the guy in Columbus where...
They'd
you know
right
what?
In with like, Nikita Filatov.
Why not?
In the KHL.
Yeah.
Well, they're under contract from the Blue Jackets collecting that money.
Because depending on how everything works out with Edmonton this year and the number one pick, they could either be getting a solid defenseman out in Nashville, Columbus, or they could be getting Nail Yakupov as their number one/two pick.
Interesting.
And you throw possibly a Radulov in there with Yakupov. And you throw Lindback in nets.
Yeah, and you've of course got Jack Johnson sitting on the blue line because of that Carter trade.
Your rebuild is now looking a lot better.
You're right. We need to start general managing the Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, if we're starting from scratch, we could do a decent job.
That'd be fun.
I'm just saying.
We should go do that.
If Nashville can pull that off, holy crap, look out for
the
Predators next
year. Both teams look to get a very good... That, you know what? That's actually one of the best suggestions I've heard, and that's not one that's anywhere on the radar out there. That's a really good idea, James.
Send this clip to...
that's... I take my hat off to you. That is a fine idea. Really, that makes a lot of sense.
If Columbus is seriously looking for a goalie,
you're not going to get a better deal than... And Lindback is a guy who is under the radar right now.
Yeah, it,
that's
true. You have to look at teams like L.A. or Nashville with their backup goalie situation.
Or Washington.
And, yeah. But you know what? I would kick the tires with L.A. or Nashville first. Hell, imagine adding Rick Nash to the L.A. Kings right now.
That's scary. But you're going to have to see some roster players come off that. I mean, listen, Simone Gagné's got to be gone in that deal. There's no way.
Yeah,
you're
going to
keep Carter and Richards because of what you've seen. So then you're left with...
But, man,
you're
going to
send
Rick
back
Nash
probably...
on that line.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I'm just trying to think of where the hole in the lineup's going to come from. It's got to be Gagné, probably Penner, and maybe Williams. Two of those three are going to have to be gone, along with Bernier, to get Nash out of Columbus, I would think.
No, I don't think so.
You think one of the three?
Because, as you said, Columbus is in a very vulnerable situation when it comes to the Rick Nash thing.
But they can also just keep him there... Because he's under contract.
Yes.
And they don't need to cash in immediately, but they do need to cash in.
Yeah. And
because really...
If LA comes knocking and saying, hey, look, we will give you our top prospect, like the number one prospect that we have in our farm system right now, our first round draft pick in the next draft, Jonathan Bernier.
Yeah.
And we'll throw in...
It's gone. Gagné. It's
Gagné.
Listen,
Gagné
as good as Gagné
deal.
Is...
Yeah.
He is the odd man out on that Kings roster.
That is four really
good
pieces.
I'll give you that.
Going
and,
back
and
to
they
Columbus
don't need
way.
Their and as much as you always need your first round draft pick, it's going to be a low pick,
it.
And they are stocked with young talent.
LA doesn't need that right now.
You're absolutely
They can afford giving up their number one prospect in their pool.
Yeah, 100%.
They can afford that, and Columbus would. Hey, you know what? If you're in the middle of a rebuild, why not take up like a really good young prospect like that that you can possibly
and
build?
Think of the marketing possibilities of this man ending up in Nashville. Come on,
this is terrible.
They named the city after
already. I like it. All right, but now that we've decided the future of Rick Nash and every other impending free agent of note or tradable commodity of note, it is time to talk about the men who will be pulling the trigger on these deals. Two general managers extended, and we'll try to get through them quickly because we're going to get up on our soapboxes about Montreal. As
and we're running out of time on that one.
Always.
Okay, so you know what? Dave Talon, thumbs up, dude totally deserves it.
Dale Talon, absolutely. Hired Kevin Dineen, made the playoffs for the first time in 12 years, first ever division title, finalist for Executive of the Year.
There's nothing but upside for Florida.
That's exactly
in the
it.
That team is on the rise.
Well, doing it Adam style, we'll just run through the list. Traded for Brian Campbell, traded for Christopher Stieg, traded for Michael Samuelson, Marco Sturm, Chris Bartsch, John Madden, Wojtek Wolski, and Brendan Smithson, signed Thomas Fleischmann, signed Jose Theodore, signed Sean Bergenheim, and signed Scotty Upshaw. Listen,
and we'll try to trade for Roberto Luongo.
This guy is playing money ball. Period, the end. This guy worked the system, worked the contracts, understood what he was doing. Definitely, I would sign him to a 10-year extension
if
I could.
You know what? He got a raw deal in Chicago. He built that team.
Yep.
That he deserved a ring for that, and
yep.
he didn't get it, so it sucks. But you know what? He deserves everything that
the
he
thing,
gets.
This
good.
Guy was available when we hired Gauthier.
Yep.
Anyway. Tambellini.
Oh, don't worry, man. We'll be getting some of that Canadian stuff. Man.
Tambellini. On the other hand, given an extension in Edmonton, after the exact opposite model of rebuild, or currently in the middle of the exact opposite of rebuild,
he
about to hit
much.
His fruition stage. He's been at Edmonton since 2008.
How much was the extension for? Like years?
2 years or 3 years. It was a multiple-year deal.
Okay.
Just fired Tom Rennie. Has never made the playoffs in his time in Edmonton as general manager. But three straight number one picks, hard to mess up. Really? I mean, listen, the guy hasn't done anything great, but he hasn't done anything wrong. You got the number one pick 3 years in a row. You picked the best player available 3 years in a row, and all of a sudden you look like a better team. Great. Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, this is one of those where it seems like he has a plan. They're going to let him try and finish it. And if it doesn't work, okay, you know what? It was only two more years. We'll go find somebody else, and that guy will have this to deal with.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
kind of what it seems like to me.
And at least he hasn't had an opportunity to screw it up.
Nope.
It looks, I mean, he made all the easy choices, but he made them right.
This is essentially the year for him.
It is, yeah. I would suggest this is absolutely it.
We want to see something.
And I would like to see him put his foot on the ground and immediately just sign Ryan Smith to that one-year deal or to give him the two-year deal. I think if anybody has ever earned a token signing on a multiple-year deal, it is Ryan Smith in Edmonton. I think that offering him the one-year deal is what you would do in most situations. If you played it by the book, it's the right thing to do, but I would have given him the 2 years he's looking for.
Yeah, for sure. I have no problem with that.
Just me. I know it's against all intuition, whatever. If any player has ever earned their place on a team, Ryan Smith is an Edmonton Oiler, period, the end.
As an Oiler fan, I'm more than okay with that. And as I said, this is kind of Tambellini's make-or-break year.
And listen, even if Ryan Smith is no good, I'm perfectly content paying him to be an Edmonton Oiler. Listen, he earned it. He
100%.
Earned it. Period, the end.
110%.
It's like not signing Doug Gilmore to one more year if he wants to come back. Take him. He earned it.
Any others on that list, or is that it?
Those are the two.
All right. Not necessarily some late-breaking news here, but as of 6:51, the Flames have released Craig Hartsburg as assistant coach.
No!
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Oh. That going along with the firings that were announced yesterday here in Montreal. All right, so.
Oh, where are we starting? Lead us, James. Set the stage.
All right, so. Randy Cunningworth, who we were all a big fan of, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
We were all big fans of, was told, you know, you're no longer interim head coach, but you will stay on as assistant coach, and you get to keep your job. They hired a new coach, and then the day after, fired him.
Fired the Randy Squared.
As well as the other assistant coach whose name...
Randy Lettucer.
Lettucer, there you go.
Randy!
All in all...
And how's this for class, though? The headline this morning on the Journal de Montréal, which is our big French-language newspaper, Bye-bye, Randy. Because they were just so freaking happy to get the bloody Anglophone the hell out of Montreal.
So before we make this political, because I know this is going there, I have to play a clip.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their headphones on.
Yeah.
If you weren't listening last week, this is what happened when we were talking about whether or not Mark Crawford, who was our general consensus pick as the best coach available, was going to get the job.
I just feel like in the back of my mind, that's going to come into play, and a guy like Michel Therrien is going to get it.
And that's disgusting, but it's true.
For however you want to say it, I still feel like it's going to happen.
And guess what?
Oh, it is disgusting, but true. As predicted.
Barf.
It is true. Michel Therrien has been hired, and listen, I want to be the first one to go on the record as saying I don't think Michel Therrien is a bad coach. I don't even think Michel Therrien is a terrible choice for this position unless you factor in what else was available. Yeah. I think that's got to be the line. Is that, listen, I don't mean this as a knock on Michel Therrien. He had a winning record in Pittsburgh, he had a good run. He was a good, decent coach over the course of his NHL career thus far. Slightly below average, I would say. I give him a C.
Okay, now here's my question, and this is something that I haven't yet heard, but I know he coached Montreal between 2000 and 2003.
Yes.
And was then fired in January of 2003, replaced by Claude Julien.
Yes, that's correct.
He then, I don't know where he went to coach He didn't go directly to Pittsburgh.
No, he went to Wilkes-Barre Scranton and coached there, and then he took over for Eddie Olchuk when he was fired in Mario Lemieux's last season, Sidney Crosby's first season. He took over halfway through.
And then coached for a while in Pittsburgh, 3 years?
Coached
2005 to 2009.
From 2005 until 2009, he actually was fired 4 games short of becoming the longest-serving coach in Penguins history. Which shows you how short. Well, exactly. Shows you how short the average term is. He went to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2008 and lost to the Detroit Red Wings. The following year, he was fired with a 27-25-12 record.
Awesome. Those are all numbers that I've heard. But the number that I have not heard is what his record was when he was in Montreal.
It is 77-77-36.
Interesting.
Average.
And I will say, of the team that he coached here in Montreal and the team that he coached in Pittsburgh, it is a more comparable situation to what he's getting into right now, comparing that to the time that he was already in Montreal.
Oh, absolutely.
He does not have a superstar-filled team like he had in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, okay, so he went on, he got like 109 points with Crosby and Malkin and Stahl and Fleury and Sergei Gonchar and Chris Letang and Hal Gill and Miroslav Shatan and Bill Guerin and
Mark Recchi for 1 year.
Listen.
Marian Hossa
for a little while. Yeah.
George Larac.
Meanwhile, in Montreal, his best season was in 2001-2002 when he guided the Montreal Canadiens to 87 points, an eighth-place finish on the back of José Théodore winning the Vezina and the Hart Trophy. So I'd be willing to say it was not necessarily coaching strategy that got them there.
You know what I remember the most from that year?
Doug Gilmour in a Habs jersey?
Nope.
Oh, that's what I remember.
Kyle McLaren elbowing Richard Zednik in the face.
Viciously elbowing Richard Zednik in the face.
That's my most vivid memory.
Absolutely.
That
was the old Jimmy Superfly from the top rope flying
elbow.
I'm
pretty sure elbow even bent backwards at one point. It was crazy elbow.
Well, I remember Zednik being completely vertical at his own height.
The feet
went up instead of the head going down when that elbow hit.
So, yeah, Michel Therrien.
First off, anybody who wants the in-depth opinion on where I stand on this one should check out www.offthecrossbar.com for an article entitled "The Day I Almost Gave Up." And, of course, that is referring to the day Michel Therrien was hired as head coach of the Montreal Canadiens.
And that was, like, Wednesday.
Yes. That was Tuesday. Very, very recent.
I keep thinking Friday.
I wish.
I don't know why.
And something I would like to remind people of, it seems to have been forgotten in this whole Michel Therrien situation, is that not only did he not deliver the goods in terms of being a great coach here in Montreal, he actually cost them what could have been a very deep playoff run. People forget the scenario that unfolded during that 2002 playoff season. No, the Montreal Canadiens were up on Carolina 2-1 in the second round, leading game 4-3-0 when there was a penalty call against the Montreal Canadiens. Michel Therrien lost his damn mind,
hissy fit,
flipped out, threw a hissy fit, got himself a bench minor. The Carolina Hurricanes scored on the two-man advantage, came back to win the game 4-3 in overtime, and eventually took the series in 6 games. Now, 3-0 in the third period, when you're up 2-1 on a team, and your coach takes a penalty that puts you down 2 men? Please. Please. You want to talk about a terrible track record? Now, this is a city that is full of fans with very long memories. They boo players 15 years after incidents happen. And they're just willing to welcome this guy back with open arms because he's got the right kind of name.
I can tell you, as a, I would like to say, impartial third party to all of this, but I do very much enjoy watching all of you suffer. There has not been a unanimous reception with open arms.
There has been from a certain segment of the community.
There has been. And Adam has been selectively quiet the subject matter, let's say. Adam, what do you think?
The Habs have to play the hand they're dealt. They've been given this guy as their coach, and all the complaining in the world is not going to change it. I think it's stupid. I think they hired the best francophone available for the job instead of the best bilingual guy because he wasn't French enough. And I think it stinks. But again, I know I talked a big game last week, but I can't stop being a Habs fan. I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to want them to win and succeed. And so I hope to God that this armpit does a great job and helps the Habs win. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's, you know, he says he's changed. He says he's matured as a coach, something like that. It remains to be seen. But at this point in time, I just, I think it's stupid. You were absolutely right last week.
I can hear the defeat in your voice.
It's...
Man.
Oh, man. You know, for as much fun as I poke at Adam
on a weekly
and daily basis.
I can hear the hurt.
Because anybody listening right now only hears how much of a jerk I am to him on Thursday nights. But we exchange about 27 emails a day and play hockey together on Sunday nights. Doesn't stop. I am constantly tormenting this man over here. And I'm looking at him going, this is just sad.
Well, and that's the situation.
I feel for the guy right now.
That's the situation that this team has put a good number of its fans in with the decision it's made. Because if you look and listen, there's a lot of ways to twist the numbers when it comes to looking at these two coaches. There are a lot of numbers that look bad on Terry, and there are a lot of numbers that look very good in Mark Crawford's favor. And of course, the situation being that it did come down to those two individuals for the job.
I don't know, man. Patrick Roy was in there.
But for every set of numbers, there's always a little bit of a stat monkey out there who's going to crunch them in the other direction and come up with an argument. And that's fair.
You know, I read an article that said the same thing.
Well, exactly. I'm running on a theme here, all right? I'm primed for this. So my basic point coming across is simply that if you listen to the media reports, if you listen to the radio call-in shows, if you read the newspapers, and if you talk to the fans in this city, the consensus all along, or at least for the last 2 weeks when we got down to the final bits of this process, was that Mark Crawford is the better coach. And I'm not saying he's Scotty Bowman reincarnated. I'm not saying he's the greatest coach on earth. But of the options available to the Canadians, you have a coach who is a Stanley Cup champion. You have a guy who's got a Jack Adams trophy on his mantle. You've got a guy who was the third youngest coach to ever get to 400 wins, who is trailing only Scotty Bowman and Dick Irvin in that category. And that's pretty elite company. You've got a guy who's completely bilingual, married to a French Canadian, and has coached in Quebec City during a very, very tumultuous time and was very popular at that time. Here's a guy who has lived his life the way an Anglophone in Quebec should, if you listen to the people who want a Francophone-only coach. He has done it right. He's played it by the book, and he has done everything in his power. And he was deemed to be the better coach by a consensus of people in this city. And it didn't matter. And that's why it hurts. That's why it hurts as a fan of this team. Because I'm an Anglophone, I live in this city, and the best coach available was not hired because he was too much like me. Essentially something I believe in very deeply. We're all very passionate about the teams we support and about the teams we love and the teams we follow. And they deemed this person too much like me to give him a job, even though he was the best candidate for that position. I'm not saying it's discrimination, but it's absolutely in the ballpark. It is absolutely a decision based on prejudgment, which is the definition of prejudice. And that is what's happening here. You can't have this job because you are not one of us. And it hurts to hear an organization that you believe in so much make a decision like that against a group to which you belong. Now, it's exactly like Adam said, where you can't give up. And the best comparison I've been able to come up with is simply that it's like a family member. Your favorite team is there. You're wearing their jersey and all your old photos. You got all your favorite Christmas presents as kids had Montreal Canadiens logos on them if you grew up as a fan of the team. You cheered for them. You suffer with them. They're like a member of the family. And when a member of the family does something stupid or obnoxious or ignorant or hurtful, It's your job as a family member to forgive them. It's hard to give up on that relationship. It's very difficult to simply close the door and say, all right, I'll cheer for a new team. So a lot of Anglophone fans are left in the exact same situation as Adam and I, which is that you have to just keep your fingers crossed, hope for the best, and believe that at some point this team is going to catch up with modern times. It's going to understand that we're living in a global environment where it simply does not matter where you're from, as long as you preserve the ideals. And if you want to have a bilingual media communications person at all times, if you want to make sure that the team communicates in French and is involved in the French community, that's great. That's awesome. That is reflecting the cultural heritage of the city that you represent. But if you want to start discriminating against the best people for the job because of what language they speak, you're living in the 50s. You're living in an archaic mentality, and it's simply not going to work. And that's what I have to say about that.
What was that, Adam?
I said, or you're living in the province of Quebec, where this is just a daily routine thing that we get put through and have to deal with because we have no other choice.
Absolutely. I think it's very funny that a group which is so defensive of its ability to be itself and to exist on its own and to not be discriminated against within a country of mainly Anglophones treats its Anglophone community exactly the way it is fighting against being treated itself within the greater scheme of things. And it keeps happening, and we keep seeing it, and now it's starting to show up in the organization. And let's face it, sports are the kind of thing that should bring us together. They should unite us despite our politics. It should be something the city can get behind, not the kind of thing that further divides us along political lines.
But here's the thing. You said it kind of right there. It's starting to. This has been a part of this team forever.
Oh, it has, but it's starting to get to the surface.
This has been kind of one of those things that it's been, I believe you might have touched on it in your article, but it's been one of the unwritten rules.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's of the Montreal talking
Canadiens
about
franchise.
It.
Like, this is, it's only been the last, I'd say, two, maybe 3 years, whenever it is that Jacques Martin was hired as head coach.
Yes.
I forget what year he was hired in. I'm sure you guys both know that.
I think it's 2009, I believe, or 2010.
So about 3 years now.
Yeah.
And it was right around the time that Guy Carpineau got fired, Bob Gainey took over as whatever,
yes,
and then, all right, we're looking for a coach now, and Jacques Martin gets it. And I'm pretty sure that shocked the hell out of everybody.
Everybody.
That caught me off guard.
Oh, absolutely.
And I like to think that I'm on top of things.
A team full of offensive stars hired a defensive-minded coach.
And
at the time. At the time.
And that's where a lot of the talk of that unwritten rule started coming. Like, we started hearing it more.
Oh, absolutely.
And now with this whole Michel Therrien versus Mark Crawford, because honestly, we're not Marc Bergevin. We're not the people who made this decision. So we don't have any idea exactly how close Mark Crawford was.
No, we don't. If you believe the reports, it was neck and neck to the very end. But isn't that just the perfect thing to say in the media?
Yeah.
So as to not offend your Anglophone fans?
You know what?
It came down to a coin toss, and it just happened that way. That's all.
Yeah, I bet.
And it's, you know, for all we know, maybe Mark Crawford had a terrible interview.
Maybe, but I heard he was absolutely crushed by not getting this job. Rumor has it, despite the fact that he is fluently bilingual, he re-enlisted in intensive French classes again.
That was another bunch of the tweets.
That's character.
Another bunch of tweets was saying, oh, I guess Mark Crawford can stop the French classes now.
Except for the fact that he already speaks perfect French. He was just sharpening his skills.
Yep.
He was showing his respect for the organization and showing his respect for the city and its fan base. And they still essentially spit in his face and mock him when it doesn't work out.
I still have trouble acknowledging these people as true fans because they're letting their stupid political language garbage get in the way of what is actually best for the team that they supposedly root for and cheer for. I couldn't care less if Therrien were the best guy for the job.
And I completely agree with you. Listen, if Mark Crawford isn't in the running and it comes down to Therrien or Hartley and we take Therrien, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I really am.
If you pick Hartley over Therrien?
I'm still okay with that. I really am. I'm okay with any decision that is made with the honest-to-God best intentions of the hockey team in mind. And you know what? Even if the Montreal Canadiens had picked Michel Therrien over Mark Crawford, genuinely believing that he was the better coach, I could be okay with that. I don't believe that for a second.
You don't think that?
No, this was not a hockey decision.
I ain't having that.
Period, the end. I do not believe it.
Do you think this is all political?
I believe that Michel Therrien is 80% the coach that Mark Crawford is, and I feel like the language thing was enough to make up the gap. Like I said, I don't think Michel Therrien is unqualified, and I don't think he's a terrible choice to coach the Montreal Canadiens. I think given the options that they had available to them, it is clear what motivated that decision. I really do. You're looking at two guys who have both been out of work for about the same amount of time, both had similar experiences when they were fired. One guy's got a significantly better track record, a Stanley Cup, a Jack Adams, more wins, and was an Olympic head coach.
Yeah.
The other guy speaks French.
When you come to, you know, Mark Crawford won a Stanley Cup, he won a Stanley Cup with Joe Sakic,
yeah,
Peter Forsberg, Patrick Waugh, and the bunch that were down there in Colorado. So very comparable to how Michel Therrien took
the Pittsburgh Penguins
to the Stanley Cup final. Granted, Crawford won his, Therrien didn't.
Well, just the same as Crawford won the Jack Adams, whereas Therrien was just nominated.
Exactly. And for me personally, the one that jumped me is the fact that I personally find Mark Crawford did a better job in Dallas when he had nothing going for him.
Yep.
Than Michel Therrien has ever done when he's had nothing going for him.
Yeah, you know what? That's a very good point. Very good point.
And Crawford has done more with nothing than Therrien has done because, as you said earlier, he did almost nothing with the Canadiens the last time. And they had
no, he didn't. Listen, there are three coaches in the history of the Montreal Canadiens who have coached at least 100 games and don't have a winning record. Michel Therrien is one of them.
Yeah, and you know what? It'll be interesting to see what's going to happen. It's an awkward situation right now in the city.
It is terribly uncomfortable.
It really is, because on top of that, the thing that really gets to me is that the average consensus from the opposite fans from you two, so I will go on the Francophone route on this one, is that everyone's first choice was Bob Hartley. And they will settle for Michel Therrien, and that Mark Crawford was never even in the debate for them. They would have rather had Patrick Waugh.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's what kills me. That's what kills me. If you're looking for a coach, you say a coach needs to speak French, needs to do that. Listen, I think that any coach who's willing to learn, as we've said throughout this entire process, any coach that speaks only Russian but is willing to learn the rest, good enough if he's the best man for the job. And I think that's the difference between the opinions of Anglophone versus Francophone. We're not pulling for an Anglophone coach, ever. We're pulling.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We are pulling for the best coach.
Look, I'm not being the opposite to you guys here. I just want to clear that out.
No, 100%. I've always said it.
Because
really,
we're not ignorant bigots.
It really doesn't matter to me. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
That one almost took my ear off on its way by.
Man, Jean-Guy Boutin is going to have some words for you, man.
Bring it on.
You know what, though? I can't help but agree. Really. 100%. And it kills me to say that. It really does, because I want to believe in this team.
And as a guy who, I'll wholeheartedly admit, not a fan of the Canadiens, love to watch you guys suffer, love to see you guys fail as much as you do.
Not like this, though.
No, this kind of bothers me because, you know, they were going into this whole offseason saying, you know what, it's time for change.
Yeah.
Like Skippy Molson came down and said, you know what?
And his bucket hat and flip-flops.
We are not going to do this like the old boys club that you always say and whatnot. And you know what, we're going to bring in Mark Bergevin, like a new guy. No real ties to the organization whatsoever.
And how excited was I to try to believe in this guy when he first came in?
And you know what? Hey, you know, Scott Mellenby. Let's bring in Scott Mellenby. Why not? And it looked like it was going.
They might as well just give him a token T-shirt at this point, bringing in Scott Mellenby. No, we hired an Anglophone. See? There he is.
But he's from Montreal.
He's over there in that corner of the office painted red. Don't cross that line.
But at the end of the day, like, you look at it and it doesn't seem like they're changing that way.
It doesn't.
And that's kind of what...
It's political pandering. And if you call it anything else, you're an idiot.
I don't want to say it hurts me because I'm not a fan, but at the same time, I look at it and go, man, I don't know how you guys put up with this. But then I think to myself, I'm a Boston Red Sox fan.
Ooh.
Sucker.
Poor man.
Exactly. And you know what? All of this is going to be a great preview for the piece that I have coming up next week. It'll be an interesting watch. That's for sure. K-Ross, it's also been a blast having you here tonight. Oh, well, you were here.
Keep on trucking, you square.
You keep your sticks on the ice.
Here and there. Thank you guys for joining us. You have just gone off the crossbar.